First John, if you would. The book of First John, chapter number 3. The book of First John is just one of the great books of the Bible. There's so much in there. There's so many truths that are taught. And we're going to look at just one of those this morning, if we could. I've titled my message. I've really got two titles for it. The first one is, how in the world could God love me? Now, I don't know about you, but every song that was sung this morning just kind of pointed to that this morning. I mean, you know, we don't ever talk about songs, and, you know, that's done at a different time, and, you know, messages and different things like that. But I'm telling you, it just seemed like every song was just made just for the message today. The second title is, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be like Him. And I'll tell you, there's really two things in here that really just stands out that I hope will be just a blessing and an encouragement to you this morning. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if we could. Lord, we thank You so much for, Lord, the good singing, the good music this morning. Lord, how it's blessed and just stirred our hearts. Lord, the fellowship and, Lord, just being around Your people this morning. And, Lord, we're grateful. We're thankful for that. Lord, everybody that's come out, we're just glad that everybody has come, that has come to, this morning. And we pray that, Lord, You'd use the message today to speak to hearts. And Lord, we didn't know who would be here, but I know that You did. And, Lord, You had something for us, and You have something for everybody today, and I pray that, Lord, You'd just do that. And Lord, we pray especially if there's someone here this morning that's lost and they need to be saved, that, Lord, maybe they would see something, they'd hear something that would, Lord, strike a chord there in their heart. Lord, let them know how much You love them and care for them, and Lord, that You'll save them and You'll take them just like they are if they'll just come to You. And so, Lord, we ask that You'd bless now. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we've already said there's so many good things in here. And so, really, there's three things that I want to bring out about each verse here this morning. The first one that I want us to see is our position. And this is really, we could say it like this. This is what we are, what we are. And he starts off there and he says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, I don't know if you understand that. I don't know if that has ever sunk in. Has that ever rung true in your heart that we are right now a child of God? And as a child of God, we're entitled and we have all the rights and privileges of the son of a king, the child of a king. And I tell you, folks, listen, we have so much. We have such a great privilege that we are His children. The Bible says we are God's children right now. That's as soon as you receive Christ as your Savior, you are placed into the family of God. And I tell you, that's something that shouldn't just be taken lightly. Can I tell you, the Bible goes on to say that the world knoweth us not, know Him not, know us not. And we're not recognized as a child of God. We could go out and we could tell people, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And can I tell you, that's not going to mean anything to the world. But you know, one day that's going to mean a lot. That's going to mean, listen, He's coming back for us one day. And all the things that we have heard about and read about in the Bible are finally one day they're going to come true. You know, the Bible tells us about Jesus that over in John chapter 1, He says He came into His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Folks, listen, right now we are His child. Right now, we are in the family of God. We're God's children because God the Father loves us. Now again, I'm telling you, I think that this phrase, this passage of Scripture, I have been so overwhelmed with the reading and the studying of this passage of Scripture here. God loves us. He loves us. He says, he describes it like this. He says, what manner of love is this? What manner? And can I tell you, there's another verse of Scripture, another passage of Scripture, where the Bible says that Jesus calmed the storm. He spoke and the winds stopped blowing and the waves laid down. And his disciples looked at him and they said, what manner of man? What kind of man is this that he can speak and the winds and the seas obey him? That's the same idea that we have here. What manner of love? In other words, this is one of those out of this world, unusual kind of love that cannot be explained. I tell you, it's probably one of the greatest studies that we could ever take on as we look through our Bible. What about this thing of love? It's an amazing love. It's beyond explanation. It's beyond understanding. How many of us can dare say, hey, I understand what it means when God says, I love you? Folks, listen, we could study it for the rest of our lives, and I'm telling you, I don't think we would touch the hem of the garment. Listen, God's love is just one of those things that is so beyond us, it's so hard to understand. It's a peculiar, out of this world kind of love. Can I tell you, it's undeserved kind of love. Hold your place there if you would. We're going to come back, but would you go back to the book of Romans if you would? And I want to just give us some examples here this morning about God's love. I tell you, God's love is found all through the Bible. And I'm so thankful we have example upon example upon example of how much God loves us. Romans chapter 5. He says this in verse number 6. He says this, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, I don't want to be blunt this morning, but I'm going to be as blunt as the Scriptures are. When the Bible describes and says ungodly, can I just help us understand or help you to understand who the ungodly are? Does anybody know before I say who the ungodly are? That's every one of us this morning. We are the ungodly. If you've not been saved, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, listen, for when we were out strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God put on display. God put it out there for everybody in the world to see how much he loved us. He showed it. He demonstrated that when he died for us on the cross. I'm telling you what, I think about another great verse, and turn back to John chapter 3, verse 16, if you would. And we all probably are familiar with this verse of Scripture. But in verse 16, he says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, for God so loved. He so loved. What does that mean, so loved? How much does he love? How far does this love go? I ask yourself, think about it. How much does he love us? How far will his love go? Well, he tells us here in verse 16, he says, I love you so much, I'm willing to give my son to die to pay for the ungodly, for the sinner, for those that are without strength. That's every one of us. That's been every one of us. Even if we're saved this morning, that was us for sure. How far does it go? How far would the Lord go? The Lord says, listen, I'll go so far as I'll send my son Jesus to die for you. You know, we sing this song, and I love this song, and I love the imagery of this song. The Bible tells us, the song tells us that he reached way down for me. You've ever heard that song? But I love that song, and don't get me wrong when I say that, because I think about myself, and he had to reach way down to get me. Because I was way down. I was way down there. But you know, can I tell you that there's a better picture of that that we can find? Really, there's all, like I said, there are all kinds of pictures in the Bible, but I'm going to give you just a few. You know, instead of reaching down, you know what? The Bible says God came down. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He's not reaching down. Listen, He came down to where we were at. And you know, I think about there's three great examples of this in the Bible. One of them was Jesus was out on the middle of the sea, and there was a great storm came up, and that was when He said, you know, wind stopped, waves stopped, and everything stopped. And he winds up on this place, and when He pulls up there, it's a cemetery. And there's a man that we describe as the maniac of Gadara. You've ever heard that? The Bible says he was a wild man. He couldn't be bound. I mean, they put chains on him, they put fetters on him. But you know what? God's love said, I've got to go to him. Even though, listen, nobody else cares about him. Nobody else wants anything to do with him. They've pushed him out to the side as far as they can go. They've tried to bind him. They've tried to do everything they could. And you know what? He was so out of control that nobody could do anything with him. But Jesus says, you know what? I love him so much that I'm going to reach out to him. And Jesus went to him. And the Bible says that He talked to him. And you know what? The next thing we find about that man, we find him, he's clothed and he's in his right mind. And he's ready. Hey, listen, he's ready to follow the Lord. I think about another instance where Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. Listen, how far will God's love go? Listen, God's love will go anywhere and everywhere there's somebody that wants to be saved. Listen, where there's anybody that has a need and they can't meet it themselves, listen, God says, I'll be there for them. I'll go to them. And I'm thankful that God goes and comes to where we're at. We don't have to try to find Him. He's looking for us. He's going to find us. I tell you, like I said, when He reached down, He reached way down. Listen, I was as low as I could go. I tried everything in the world, but you know what? God says, listen, I'll take you just like you are if you'll come to me. Just turn to me. And I'll receive you as one of myself. But the Bible says that He goes to this woman, and she's had five husbands, and she's living with a man now. And the Bible said nobody wanted anything to do with her. No, listen, the disciples, they wasn't trying to reach her. The religious people, nobody was trying to reach this woman. She was out there all by herself. But the Lord says, listen, I want to go reach her. I want to go and tell her what can happen if you just turn to me. And she says, you know, Jesus said to her, you know, I've got this living water. If you'll just drink this water, you can drink this living water. You'll never, ever thirst again. And then, you know, we find even in John chapter 3, verse 16, or this passage of Scripture here where it talks about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a rich and religious man, but you know what? He was a lost man. How far will God's love go? It will go even to the rich and even to the religious and tell them and show them how much He loves them. Folks, listen, I'm glad that God loves me. I'm glad that He loves me so much that He never gave up on me. He never gave up. He just kept coming and He kept coming and He kept coming. One day, I received Him as my Savior. Folks, can I tell you, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you can have that same thing happen to you. God loves you this morning. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. You turn to Him. You accept Him as your Savior. He will take you just like you are. Second thing I want us to see, not only our position, but our potential, what we shall be. And folks, can I tell you, I think a lot of times we just don't realize what God has in store for us. He tells us here, back over to 1 John, He tells us that one day that we're going to see Him and we're going to be like Him. Now, I don't know everything that's going to happen. Everything that's going to happen, I really don't even know how to describe everything, how long it's going to take or the time frame of it or anything like this, but the Bible says that This is what's going to happen. He says that, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, the Bible says he's going to appear one day. He's going to appear. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. I hope it's soon. I wouldn't mind if he came today. It wouldn't bother me a bit, not one bit, if he would come today. He's going to appear. One day he's going to appear. He's told us many times in his word that he's going to come back for us. You know, John chapter 14, another great passage of scripture, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, listen, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? I will come again. I will come again. Listen, I'm going to receive you to myself. And where I am, there you're going to be also. One day he's going to appear. And we're going to be able to see him. I'm thankful for that. We're going to be like him, the Bible says. We're going to be like him. No one really knows exactly what that means. What does it mean to be like Jesus? How many of us have ever had the thought, I would sure like to see Jesus. I sure would like to see him. Moses had that thought. He said, Lord, would you show me your glory? And God says, Moses, you can't look at me. You know, one of the reasons why we can't see the face of God is the Bible says no man can look at God and live. God said, Moses, you can't see my face. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you back in the cleft of this rock. There's just going to be just a little bit of vision there. And God says, I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, I'm going to take my hand away. And you'll be able to see the bright Shekinah glory of God. Boy, wouldn't that have been a life-changing event to see God, to see the glory of God? Folks, can I just tell you, do you know that we can get a glimpse of God? It might be a small glimpse, but we can get a glimpse of God. I tell you, I almost believe I saw a little bit of God this morning when we were singing. You know, that's a great time. That's a great time to look for the Lord. That's a great time to enter into the worship of God. Hey, one day, folks, going to be a reality to be in the very presence of God and to worship Him like we've never worshiped before. One day that's going to be our life. We're going to be with Him. We're going to see Him. And we're going to be like Him. We don't know what, like I said, we don't know what that's going to involve, but let me just give you some things. I wrote down three things here. One thing, it will mean a body without sin. Can you imagine? And don't raise your hand, because I'm not raising my hand for this for sure. But how many of us has ever been a day without sin? To my shame, I'm not raising my hand. Won't it be a great thing when we won't ever sin again? And hurt and harm God with our singing. One day our character will be as pure as the Lord Jesus Christ. No more sin. Listen, that's going to be a reality. Folks, that's what we should be shooting for right now. Lord, how could I be more like you? And I'm telling you, the only way we're going to be more like Jesus is when we get into the book and we find out who he is. What does the Bible say about it? And we're going to be like the Bible says. We're going to be like him. It means a body without sin. It means a body without corruption. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21 says this: who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Why? No sickness, no pain, and no more death. You know, it used to be when I would get around my friends when I was younger. When I'd get around my friends, I'd pull my phone out and I'd take pictures out and I'd say, here's my grandkids. Look at this. Now I pull it out and I say, look at my doctor's appointments. What do you got? What do you got? You know, show me how many you got. You know, one day, no more pain. How many of you have ever had pain? I had a pain in my knee that, I tell you, it is finally eased up just a little bit. And I'm telling you what, my whole life revolved around the pain in my knee, how it felt. If I walked, I had to think, my knee, it's going to hurt your knee. I go up steps, you know that's going to hurt your knee. I would think about running. I never tried it. But my body says, you're not going to do that, because I know that's going to really hurt your knee. But it's eased up now. But hey, one day we're going to have a body that don't hurt. One day we're going to have a body that won't die. One of the hardest things of being in the ministry is getting to know people and love people, and then the Lord takes them home. Man, that's hard. That's hard. We've lost so many good folks here at Calvary that one day we're going to be able to see them again. That's a great thing, because we're going to be able to see them again. Listen, they're already experiencing that. No more pain. No more dying. And they're much better off. They're much better off, and we're thankful for that. No sickness, no pain, no death. And then the third thing is there's going to be a satisfied heart. Listen, we're going to be complete one day when we see Him and become like Him. Psalm 17:15 says this: I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I looked up that word satisfies. It meant filled to satisfaction. We're finally one day going to be satisfied. Now that's quite an accomplishment right there in itself, ain't it? Husbands, how many of you, your wife, if I were to ask your wife, is he ever satisfied? What would they say? Well, one day we're all going to be satisfied. And then the Bible says this, that we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. Now, I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't know what that's going to be. But you know, the Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, we're going to see Him. All these things that we've talked about this morning, you know, all that's just going to, it's going to happen just like that. Yeah. And then I guess, I don't know, but I'm assuming we're all going to be in heaven. We're going to be taken out of here, boom, in heaven. We're going to be changed just like that. We're going to have that new body, and it's all going to be over with. Hey, listen, all the things, you know, everything that we, you know, fills our mind about things that's going on here on this earth, all that's going to be over with. It's going to be it's going to be better than retiring. You know, when you retire, you don't have to worry about your job anymore. You don't have to worry about your work. You don't have to worry about getting up and going, you know, this, that, and other, whatever it would be, you know. They say that's what it is. I don't know. But listen, we're going to be with Him. And you know what? When we're with Him, it's just not going to matter. It ain't going to matter. We're going to be with Him, and we're going to be like Him, and we're going to be like Him. And I tell you, I'm thankful for that. There's a YouTube video that, and I wouldn't recommend a lot of YouTube, but this one I would. There's a YouTube video that I watched, and if I ever get discouraged, I mean, if I get discouraged, there's a few things that I do. I like to do. One of them is I like to listen to good music. But this one video, I guarantee you, will brighten your day. It may even change the way you look at things. It may change your life. There's a boy, special needs young man. He was just a little boy when he did this, and he was born blind, and his mom was on drugs, and his adoptive dad found out that he could sing, and you know, he supposedly has perfect pitch and all this kind of, I mean, but he could really sing, and they brought him out on stage, and he tells a little bit about him, and he's talking about him a little bit, and he's just in the way he is. He's just continuously rocking, and his hands, you know, he's doing all kinds of things with his fingers and all, but you know, he's just, I mean, he's so excited And his dad's telling a little bit about him, and then they hand him the microphone. And he starts singing this song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you." And he sings that. And then he says, I want to see you high and lifted up. I mean, it's a beautiful song. But this young man, as he's singing, and I'm telling you, it's just one of the most amazing things in the world to watch this young man singing. And I tell you, you're talking about making you realize how sometimes petty we are. We're so concerned about us, and we're so worried about our needs and what's going on with us. But here's a young man that couldn't even see special needs. I mean, all he wanted to do was worship the Lord. And he wanted to see the Lord. Folks, can I tell you, I want to see the Lord. I want to see him. And one day I'm going to be able to. The third thing we see here is our practice, what we should be. You know, the first thing that ought to happen to us when we get saved is, and when we find out about it, you know, not everybody finds out, not everybody knows it. You know, there's always a learning process when we get saved. There's so much to learn, so much to know. But one of the things is that, like I said, what we're talking about this morning, the Lord's going to come back. He's going to take us to be with Him. And you know what that should do for us? It ought to make us hopeful. It ought to make us hopeful. And we ought to be looking every day for the Lord to return. And listen, I'm telling you, God's coming back one day. He told us He was coming one day. You know, that was a prediction. All, you know, the whole Old Testament talked a lot about that. He's coming, and He came. And we celebrate that at Christmas time. But listen, He's coming back again. It's going to be completely different. It's going to be completely different. We're going to like I said, He's going to take us to be with Him, and we're going to be in heaven forever and ever with the Lord, watching and waiting for His return. Jesus is coming soon. We used to sing that song all the time, and that was just one of them songs that would just remind you continuously, Jesus is coming soon. He is coming, and we better be ready. But can I tell you, the second thing is that it ought to cause us to be holy. Now, sometimes we talk about being holy, and we talk about living right, and sometimes we say that almost in a negative way. But you know, it shouldn't be negative. It shouldn't be negative at all. It shouldn't to live holy should not be negative. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. Listen, the reason that we live holy and that we want to live holy is because Jesus loves us, but because we love Him. And we want to please Him. We shouldn't be holy, and we shouldn't want to be holy, and we shouldn't try to live and do His commandments or do His will because we do it out of fear. It should never be that way. We should do it because we love Him. We love Him. And listen, just like you wanted to please your parents, I wanted to please my parents. And you know, it doesn't make any difference if your parents were good or if they wasn't good. There was something about it. There was something within us that we wanted to please our parents. We wanted their approval. We wanted them to look at us and say, "Son, you did a good job there. I'm proud of you." Those kind. You know what? Listen, God is the same way. God says, "Listen, I want you to serve me. I want you to live for me, not because you're afraid of me, but because you love me." The second coming of Jesus is an incentive to live daily, live a holy and a clean life. If we really believe that the Lord could come back at any moment, guess what? It will have a tremendous restraining effect on your life. If I knew the Lord was coming back, listen, I'm going to be on my extra good behavior. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 says this. He says, these things, that's not it. 1 John 2, 6, I'm sorry. I knew that couldn't be right. 1 John 2, 6. Here we go. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Talking about the Lord. Listen, if we abide in Him, we should walk just like the Lord walked. Listen, can I just tell you, really, one of the big chunks of this message is an encouragement for us to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus. That's what we're to do. He walked, listen, He walked. He was holy. He was without sin. Now, we can't be without sin, but I tell you what, we can be holy. And we can walk after Him. We can walk and follow Him and do what He would have us to do. Look over in verse number 28, and He says this, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You know, I had the privilege to be around my grandkids this weekend, yesterday especially. And you know, grandchildren, especially the boys, it's just a different world. You know that? It's a different world. And Caleb's kids, he's got all boys but one girl. He's got one girl. But those boys, they are, for their age, they're big and they're rough. And when they come at you to hug you, it's almost like preparing for battle. You know, I mean, if you're not expecting it, you'll be on the ground. A lot of times they'll come, they'll be running, and they'll jump. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You grab them, you hold them, you try. And I mean, it's like all within you is getting ready to come out on the ground. But folks, listen, you know what? We don't get to see them that often, but when they see us, they act like, and it seems like they really are glad to see us. Amen. You know, and I'm gonna tell you, when the Lord comes back, yeah, I'm gonna promise you, you're gonna want to really be glad to see Him. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you what, if we're not living right, I don't know that we're gonna have that confidence. I don't know that we're going to be that excited about seeing Him at that very moment. We may have to get some things right real quick. But can I tell you, listen, God wants us to live right and be right. For when He comes, we won't have to be ashamed at His coming. And buddy, we'll be glad. We'll be glad. You know, to live, we live to please Him, not out of fear, but because we love Him. And folks, listen, can I just tell you, the Lord loves you this morning, and He's done all that He could to show and prove and demonstrate His love for you. Would you turn to Him? If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you turn to Him today? Trust Him as your Savior? Amen. Folks, now listen, we got folks here that will take a Bible, sit down with you, and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. You know, you can know that. Know it without a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. Christians, are we living the kind of life that would be pleasing to the Lord? If not, then why not? Let's get it right today. Let's get it right this morning. Why? Because He could come back at any moment. And we want to be ready. And we want to be prepared for His coming. Let's bow our heads for prayer if we could.